from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
Good morning. Happy Thursday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning to you, Ursula.
Good morning, G. How you doing? Our first hour was a lot of fun, lots of interesting stories, and then that fun discussion about grilled cheese.
Yeah. You know, it really was a fun discussion. And I'll admit something. There's a part of me that kind of wants to try it, but I don't want to see it put on there.
What's there to lose? It's not a big deal. I mean, it'll be fun.
Because mayonnaise belongs on hardly nothing except for a little tuna. You see what I'm saying? Put a little tuna and your little relish in there. But man, I'm not cool with that mayonnaise. But it was a fun show for sure. All right, Ursula, you want to tell the folks how to get in touch with us before we talk about what's going on next?
Yeah, so just a reminder that we want to interact with you in real time. The new State Roofing text line number is 888-973-CHIRO. That is 888-973-5476. And if you haven't already liked our Facebook page or joined our community there, now would be a great time to do so. We would love to hear from you. And right now, actually, we are expecting a guest, and this was a highly anticipated guest because we have been talking about the Seattle City Attorney's race, and we had Ann Davison, who is running, and we spoke with her yesterday, and we wanted to give equal time to Nicole Thomas Kennedy, who said that she would be joining us at this hour. But as of right now, Andrew is dialing and not getting anyone to pick up. So I don't know if she has had a change of mind. Hopefully we will get a chance to talk to her. But in the meantime, because we don't have her just yet, I would encourage everybody to send questions that you want us to ask her. We certainly have some of our own, but she's been in the headlines recently because of some tweets that are very controversial. And again, we wanted her to have a chance to respond to those as well. But as of right now, we don't have her. So we're going to have to punt right now. And I want to bring up something that we didn't get a chance to talk about in our first hour.
Okay.
So this is fun. This is what we call calling an audible.
That's all right. All good. I'm sure we got some stuff in there. Yeah. I know that there was the Tacoma District right now that
exactly.
is raising the pay. We
yeah,
have
exactly.
that.
So Absolutely. So here's something. What is a job that if you didn't do what you are doing right now, did you ever consider being a teacher?
Never.
Okay, because I did. That would be a job that I would have loved to do. Mm-hmm. But you know that they don't make a ton of money, although that is getting better. And it always amazes me when people complain that teachers are making more money because I think that they are sorely underpaid. But right now in the Tacoma Public School District, they are in desperate need of substitute teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So the notice has gone out and they want you to know that they are going to increase the daily pay from $150 a day to $200 a day. And they're hoping that they can get hundreds of teachers to sign up. So in Tacoma, substitute teachers are required to have teaching certificates. And right now, the district has about 360 of them, but they want to hire another 200. Apparently, other districts are also dealing with shortages, but they're not in as critical need as Tacoma.
You know, oftentimes, I've never liked the word low-skill jobs. You know what I mean? When it comes to the skill. But the truth is, I gave numbers last week talking about the top 25 lowest paid professions in the country. I brought up hosts and servers and waitresses were in there. I brought up CNAs, those that are taking care of our elderly loved ones and different areas as well. Now, when it comes to teachers, there's absolutely no excuse for this. There is no excuse for there to be lower pay. Now, it's one thing. I know, Ursula, you said you wanted to be a teacher, and you probably had this idea that you would teach someone. But let's be real. You're talking about 7 hours a day. The possibility, some of these schools right now, especially down here down south, have had some budget cuts. So therefore, there's less teachers. So instead, some of these classrooms have gone from 19 to 20 to 30 to 33. In their classroom. So imagine not 1 hour, but 7 hours of taking care of somebody else's kids. 30 of them.
Which sounds great if you are paid adequately. But right. The thing that just shocked me is $150 is what they were paying. And then now they want to bump it to $200. And I think that's getting it to what the market is calling. But $200 a day, take out taxes, et cetera. That's not a ton. If for a profession where you actually need to have a college degree and a teaching certificate, in most cases, apparently in another district, they were saying, in the Bethel School District, they said that they're going to do emergency substitutes. And those are different than the regular substitutes because they don't need a Washington State teaching certificate. But there are a lot of people who are going to look at that like, why would I do that when I can go elsewhere and get much more pay? Right. And a lot of teachers have left the profession because of during the pandemic, because of the unreliable income. They've moved on elsewhere. And so one of the biggest things that they're seeing right now is an impact to elementary schools. So in case you want to do some substitute teaching, Tacoma is looking for you. You know, we were supposed to talk to Nicole Thomas Kennedy, and quite frankly, that was a commitment that she made, and she's not on here for whatever reason. I say we talk about her and this particular race. What about you? I mean, we are literally changing here right now on the fly.
Let's do it. I would love to talk about it, and we can go in order in what we were going to talk about. Yeah. And I know that you were going to be asking some of the reasons as to why she decided to run for city attorney.
Let's just go on.
Yep. Okay. Well, I'm going to go into quite simple this. I was going to go into her tweets and her reckless tweets towards police officers. During that time, they've been called pigs, Nazis, losers, stains on humanity. She also describes the Seattle police officers after controversial tweets that had resurfaced. And now she's running for city attorney. Now, she was on our station. She was on with Jack Stein. And I believe he asked her about those tweets. And here's what she had to say about those tweets.
Twitter is an inherently satirical and sarcastic forum. I was not a candidate when I tweeted those things.
Right.
Will I tweet those things as a candidate? No, I will not. But Trump was president. Cops were brutalizing everybody in the street. And yeah, I said some mean and sarcastic things on Twitter as a citizen. And I defend the right of any citizen to say mean, sarcastic things on Twitter.
Okay. So Twitter, as we all know, is one of my favorite platforms. It's a social media platform that provides and encourages communication between multiple parties.
Okay. Apparently, we're just getting her right now.
Oh.
Okay. We're going to just set up here. This is a little bit different here, but Nicole Thomas Kennedy, are you joining us right now?
I am, and I'm so sorry I was late. I was stuck in another meeting.
Oh,
my apologies.
Okay, I'm glad that we get you because we had some questions for you. So we want to just introduce you to our listeners. You are a former public defender. You are now in private practice, and you have described yourself as an abolitionist of policing and the criminal justice system, and we appreciate you joining us on the show. So I just want to start off. As Seattle City Attorney, you would be in charge of criminal prosecution of misdemeanors and civil litigation on behalf of the city. But you have already stated that you would not prosecute most misdemeanors. Explain to us, how would that be a benefit to the city, and how would that help improve our safety?
Sure. So right now, the reality is that a lot of the misdemeanors that are currently being charged are crimes of poverty and disability. And there is nothing about prosecuting crimes of poverty or disability that change the underlying conditions of poverty or disability. So I would like to actually address the root causes of crimes so that way we can deter crimes in the future. So a lot of the things that come through Seattle Muni are things like I've had lots of cases of stealing a sandwich, a block of cheese and a beer, sleeping under an awning. And there's really nothing about putting someone in jail for a temporary amount of time, because that's all that's allowed for misdemeanors is a temporary jail stay. there's nothing about those situations that make it less likely from happening again. So I would like to spend more money on scaling up resources for people, whether around mental health, around addiction, and around poverty, that are going to allow them to be self-reliant and flourish instead of continuing to destabilize people through through expensive prosecution. And one of the ways that we can do that is by spending less money on prosecution. Prosecution costs, you know, for around $10,000. For each prosecution. And how is that actually in the interest of public safety when we are spending that amount of money prosecuting someone for sleeping under an awning instead of spending that money on housing? And that's, you know, and that's, we are the only country in the world that incarcerates the way that we do. And we are by far the safe, we are far from the safest. And so I would like to take us in a new direction where we're actually addressing root problems instead of continuing to cycle through punishment. And also there's lots of options between not prosecuting and prosecuting all the time. You know, there's diversionary programs, there's community-based mentorship programs, there's family violence programs. A lot of these things are currently being resourced. We need to scale up on those things because those are the things that are going to result in true public safety.
But you have already stated, even before sight unseen any of these cases, you have already stated that your intent is not to prosecute. And so you mentioned crimes of poverty, but in some cases, we're talking about shoplifting, drunk driving, low-level assaults. And I think that people would argue that without any sort of consequence and not holding people accountable, those things will continue to happen. And those things do have an impact on others and don't make us feel safe. And I'm speaking as someone who lives in the city of Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I totally agree with you. So, and it's not sight unseen. I've actually worked in this system. And what I have said multiple times is that for some cases, especially interpersonal violence and repeat DUIs, traditional prosecution has to remain an option. But there's a huge amount of area in between not doing anything and prosecuting to the fullest extent of the law. So while prosecution has to remain an option in some cases, there are other ways of dealing with these situations. There's other ways of fostering accountability. There's other ways of addressing these problems where jail has shown to be a failure. And I think one of the biggest indications of this is when people talk about prolific offenders. Yes, there are people who continually cycle in and out of jail for misdemeanors, and it is a problem. But the issue, but I want to solve the problem. I don't want to just keep perpetuating the problem because we are talking about misdemeanors. The maximum sentence is less than a year. We have to do, if we want true public safety, we need to do something different and we need to be resourcing different things because right now we are wasting money on this. Even if we wanted to keep someone in jail for an entire year, it would cost $73,000. Whereas permanent supportive housing with wraparound case management services costs about $23,000. What's that?
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish.
No. Please. Like sometimes I'm
okay.
A lawyer.
You are a lawyer, and before you were a candidate for Seattle City Attorney last year, mm-hmm. I'm sure you've talked about this. I want to talk about these tweets. Pigs. Mm-hmm. Nazis, losers, stains on humanity is mm-hmm. some of the things that you described, were able to describe the Seattle Police Department or police in general. Why did you tweet that?
So that was in 2020. And so the reality of what was happening right at that time was huge, massive protests all across the country against racist police killings. And the response by police in Seattle was to become even more brutal than they had ever been before. So my neighborhood was gassed 11 times in a row. I had to buy a gas mask for my 9-year-old daughter. SPD repeatedly lied about why they did it. They said an umbrella was a riot and a candle was a bomb. I mean, there was a lot of things that were going on at that time, and I was angry. And so I definitely trolled police at that time on Twitter. I didn't cause any property damage. I didn't hurt a cop. I didn't do anything like that. But I definitely spoke back to power on Twitter. And I was not a candidate for office at that time. I was a private citizen. I defend the right of every private citizen to troll whoever they want on Twitter. But would I tweet like that as a candidate for office? No, I wouldn't.
I've never been a candidate for office. I'm a black man in America, right? And there in 2020 on my show, no doubt about it. There's a lot of things that happened in 2020 that I want and still to this day want police officers held accountable for. There has been a problem of a lot of police officers not being held accountable for their actions. However, I've never done that on Twitter because I know that what, even though I personally have never, you didn't do anything to someone, someone else can read your tweets and do something and be empowered because of that. Do you understand that because of what you did, that someone else can see that and say, and get charged up to be upset and do something towards police officers? Do you understand that?
I mean, it's not like I was the president of the United States of America. I was a private citizen, and
neither
a lot of tweets have like one, maybe like I think the most has six likes. I was really not. I mean, there. Yeah, I guess I didn't. I'm sorry. I guess I didn't think anybody took me that seriously.
Well, I can tell you that the police officers and people who live in the community to take it seriously, because you look at it and you say, is this what is in her heart? And a year after those tweets are put out, you are now running for an office where you would be in a position of deciding whether or not to file charges based on what the police put forward. And you would also be in charge of potentially representing police in if there's some civil litigation. So how, if I am a police officer, how am I going to feel like you would have my back in some of those situations, or that as a community member that you would actually take anything brought forward to you from police seriously?
Because I'm a professional. I'm a professional lawyer. I've done over 600 cases, and I've never lost a trial. I was a public defender, which means I don't get to choose the cases I have. I defend the people that are brought to me. I defend my clients, and I always have. And so whether my client is the city or whether my client is the residents of the city, that is what the job is. And I have shown that I can do that job very well. So whether, you know, I'm open about the fact that I was angry at police last year, but also the thing is, I think that everybody keeps talking about is that we maybe need more deference to the police. And I don't think that's what we need. We've got to a place last year where police were found in contempt by a federal judge several times, where they abandoned their precinct and didn't tell their chief, where they the city council tried to stop them and they couldn't. We don't need more deference to police. We actually need police accountability. And so that is part of the city attorney's job, is negotiating the next police contract. I think it's in the best interest of police to actually have accountability in their contract, because the way I felt last summer, I was not alone. There are a lot of people in the city right now that don't trust our police department because of what happened in 2020. And so what we need is a shift in police accountability. But as far as defending officers and civil rights lawsuits and things like that, the city is my client and I will represent the city. When it comes to misdemeanor prosecution, I'm going to go where the data leads. I want Seattle to be a safer and healthier city, which means I'm not going to keep repeating mistakes from the past, falling into this idea that it's politically convenient to be tough on crime, quote unquote, so that's what I'm going to do. No, I actually care about the problems and I care about what the actual solutions are. And so I'm going to be evidence-based and go by the data to spend our money wisely to get to a place of health and safety.
Nicole, I want to ask you about some comments that were made by former governors, including Chris Gregoire, who told Q13 that it would be disastrous if you became city attorney.
What I can't sit there and let go by is a person who believes in anarchy, that to property destruction is a moral imperative, that all police are serial killers, that the United States Supreme Court is illegitimate and who hates our country.
So that was, again, Governor Chris Gregoire, and she and another Democratic governor, Gary Locke, have both endorsed your opponent. How do you respond to that?
So, I mean, I don't know. I thought that was so I mean, I thought it was pretty wild that someone of her stature would call someone a terrorist over tweets, you know, and call me an anarchist and a terrorist. During 2020, Trump labeled Seattle an anarchist, quote unquote, anarchist jurisdiction. And a lot of us like thought that was hysterically funny and just absolutely absurd, because what was happening in Seattle wasn't anarchy, quote unquote. That was something that the right had put on Seattle to try to keep Seattle from getting federal funding. You know, it was a dog whistle. And so I think it's interesting that a former governor would parrot the talking points of the right and endorse my opponent. But I actually am not that surprised, given that what's at stake in this election. And what is at stake is the things that are on the civil side of the office, which is the jumpstart tax and our tenant protections. And there are a lot of corporations that the former governor represents that are going to be taxed the most through the jumpstart tax. So it's not surprising that she would rather endorse my opponent, who has not said she would push back on that at all.
I just want to say thank you for joining us. And also the fact that I want to be crystal clear on something. I believe mm-hmm. that we all can make mistakes on Twitter and in life mm-hmm. and still bounce back from those things. And I think the most important thing is going forward that I like the way you like be accountable for those actions. Doesn't mean that you can't do your job. So I really appreciate you taking the time to come on our show.
And thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yep. Hey, coming up next, Ursula, we're going to talk about the majority of King County Council denounces a campaign mailer that was put out there. We discuss that next. It's G and Ursula.
It is 10:35 and you're listening to the G and Ursula Show. We are starting the segment very late because we had a late start with our last guest, Nicole Thomas Kennedy, who is one of the candidates for Seattle City Attorney. And just to pull back the curtain, we were waiting to get her on the line and, you know, we're filling with a different story. So we had to go right into the meat of the questions that we had and didn't give her a chance to really, you know, talk about some of her ideas, just because we were kind of short on time and wanted to make sure that we did ask those tough questions. And, you know, for me, I live in Seattle and I will be making a decision about who to vote for. And, you know, for all of us who do have to make that decision, there are two very stark differences between the candidates. And someone mentioned yesterday, well, wow, there was a very dramatically different feeling to this interview versus the one yesterday. The one yesterday also started late with Anne. So mm-hmm. we were having trouble getting her on the line, and both of us said to each other afterwards, like, we felt like she was really distracted or didn't sound as sharp as she did, you know, the first two times we had her. So in any case, what we're trying to do is make sure that you hear who these candidates are. This is what we're dealing with. And if you missed that interview, make sure that you listen to it on our podcast, because this is one of the most critical races on the November ballot.
I just want to say some things. There are some things that she said, right? Like addressing why these crimes are happening, right? Like there are some things that she had to say that I wasn't in disagreement with, right? Not at all. The part that I wanted to get to the bottom of, and it was simple, and people might, oh, that's no big deal. No. That's a big deal. Because she took to Twitter and she said some nasty things about cops. And if you're going to be the Seattle City Attorney, you have to answer for those things. I'm not even a politician. I'm not running for anything. As you guys know, you guys have listened to the show. There are a lot of things that I have been upset about over the last couple years, especially in 2020 with what's been going on with police officers. But there's been things of lack of accountability with police officers that have been going on since before 2020. Even with that being said, Ursula, I have a responsibility, even if I have one follower, two followers, 10 followers, 15,000, 16,000 followers, to not get on social media and be reckless that way, because my words can be used by others. Even if I don't go do something wrong to someone, somebody can see my words. So that is wrong. Anybody that uses their platform to empower bad behavior, that's a wrong. I'm not saying she encouraged bad behavior. I'm saying you can't say those nasty things about cops. And so she admitted it.
I mean, if you want to, if that's how you want to be looked at and that's how you're expressing yourself, I mean, she's right. You have the freedom to say what you want.
Sure.
However, you also have to understand that now that you're running for an office where you would have to be working hand in hand with police and you might have to defend them in a civil litigation, then you cannot be surprised if police say, we don't trust you. Or if members of the community say, we don't trust you. And so we appreciate, though, that knowing that she was going to get some tough questions, that she came onto the show.
Absolutely.
So thank you for that.
Yes.
Okay, we only have a couple minutes, but we want to mention this. There's this political mailer that was sent by an incumbent King County Council member who is running for re-election. And now she is being taken to task by her colleagues on the council who say that this mailer was racist.
The flyer put out by Kathy Lambert's campaign portrays her challenger Sarah Perry as a so-called socialist puppet. It depicts Councilmember Yermai Zahalai, who is black, and Seattle City Councilmember Shama Sawant of East Indian descent holding the strings of Perry portrayed as a marionette. According to the Seattle Times, Zahalai and five of his colleagues on the council say the flyer is racist because the Lambert campaign singles him and Sawant out because of their skin colors in order to stir up racial fears of white East Side Republicans.
And that is Lisa Brooks reporting, and she was not able to get a response yet from Councilmember Lambert, who we have tried to reach out to as well because I know that she listens to our show. And so she's welcome to come on and respond to this. But your thoughts on this with the amount of time we have.
Just come out and apologize and be accountable for your actions. That's the best thing that Kathy Lambert can do right now. I saw the flyer and whoa, whoa. Yes, come out. The worst thing that gets done, and our last guest was held accountable, and she was accountable for her actions about those tweets. The same thing with Lambert right now in this mailer. Yo, this mailer's not good. So the best thing she can do, Ursula, is come out ahead of this and say, and call. You have an opportunity to call them and apologize and come out and say and just apologize.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the hurt that I've caused.
Absolutely.
And I didn't, because I'm not necessarily convinced that she meant it to be racist, but I can see how it would be considered such only because she's basically making it look like people on the East Side should be concerned because the one black colleague that she has on the council is pulling the puppet strings of this woman who's running, the Democrat who's running in the race. And it basically, he feels and others feel that she's demonizing him and making people on the East Side scared that someone black might be coming, you know, and someone they're going to bring socialism to the East Side.
Well, again, whether it was her intent or not, and which you're right, I admit, there is a possibility. I've said some things in my lifetime where I didn't intend for something to be a certain way. Like, ooh, I didn't mean that. But the person was offended and they, oh, hey, this is how I felt. Apologize. Even if Kathy Lambert didn't mean it that way, still apologize. Because I know if I was on that mailer and I was the one pulling the strings like I see Jermai doing, oh, yeah, there'd be a problem. I would be upset because I would really feel like this is you trying to, if you will, I would say and think this is kind of a dog whistle to those that are like, oh, we don't want this to happen. And you see the black guy on there controlling everything. Oh, no, can't have that. That's how I would look at it if it were me on that flyer.
And that's also not giving your constituents, you know, any, what do I want to say? Like, give them credit for, I don't think that that's necessarily how they're going to feel.
Right. Very true. Just come out and apologize. Hey, coming up next, it is time for scenarios. Find out, Ursula, when a husband apparently gets the wife something that she didn't like for her birthday. We discuss that next. It's G and Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Thursday to all of you. Ursula, before we get to scenarios, I'd say we've been having a show that's been all over the spectrum today, huh?
Yeah, we have.
Man.
And I'm wondering why I'm sweating right now. But mostly because you set aside 20 minutes for somebody, and then suddenly if they're not there, like, okay.
Right.
I mean, not
like,
that we wouldn't have other things to talk about, but we were, it was kind of a highly anticipated interview, and we've given Ann Davison several chances to be on the show, so we need to invite Nicole again.
Yes.
And I appreciate that she was on, but you know, she just got shortened amount of time.
100%. That, you know what? You're right. She does need to come back to our show so that we can really get into you know what she's going to bring and what she's going to do if she is elected city attorney here in Seattle. So I want to be able to have that chance. But right now, let's get to it. Scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
My wife is furious at me, and I think it's all her fault. Man, I like the way this starts already. She just had a birthday 2 weeks ago. Now, for 4 weeks, she's been telling me how much she wants an air fryer. All the time, she's telling me, oh my gosh, look at what this can do. Look at what my friends can do on their air fryer. Well, I got her the very best air fryer, top of the line air fryer that you can get. It does everything. It's terrific. And you know what? She loves it. Here's the problem. The problem is that she doesn't think it's an appropriate birthday gift, even though it's exactly what she wanted. In fact, it's better than the one she wanted. I got her the top of the line air fryer. I gotta say that at least 10 times so you guys understand me. She says birthday gifts are supposed to be fun, like a spa day or something we don't need, but that she loves. She says this is the worst. This is actually worse than a gift card. What do I do now? 888-973-CHIRO is the state roofing text line. Ursula, you're up the bat first.
So unfortunately, he's not a mind reader. And I think that there are in couple situations, there's usually one. And I will say more often it's me in my situation where you want your partner to be kind of a mind reader. So yeah, she wanted an air fryer, but what she's telling you by complaining right now is that she doesn't want you to just give her what it is that she asked for. She wants you to think of something that would be thoughtful, that would be romantic, that would be something different other than what you already said. There's no romance in what you already said, even though he has said it many, many times that he gave her the, you know, top of the line one. And to him, he's thinking, so they're just speaking different languages, this whole Mars and Venus thing.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up. And you know, Ursula,
and I'm not saying that this is right. I'm just saying that I think this is what I'm reading from that situation.
I'm about to get myself in trouble.
You
always warn me before the show, G. Now don't. And this is one of those
I'll let you
that
go.
I'm going to do it. I don't care. I'm going to do it. This is the problem. All the time, women don't never tell you what they want. They have no idea. You say, you look outside and you say the sky is blue. Yes, the sky is blue. Nope. She's going to say, well, it's blue, but then there's a little white right here.
Yeah, you're not noticing the clouds.
And the clouds and the color right there.
No, just, what it is you want to be romanced. And I know it's not just a, you know, one-way situation, but you want to think that someone thinks of you beyond what it is that you state. You're stating the obvious. Okay, you know, I would really like an air fryer.
But you guys say
it's just
we
like,
don't
I
listen.
I really want a toaster.
you say we don't listen. Now, fellas, if you're listening right now, you're driving in your truck, you're at your office. Am I right? Doesn't
okay,
she
so this
always
is, this
say
is a we, pro tip. This is a pro tip. What we like.
What?
Okay, and I'm just speaking for many women, not all. What
okay.
we like is for you to be creative. For you to think, hey, I would love to get you the air fryer, but what I'm going to do is get you a spa weekend with me or without me and really allow you and then say beautiful words to you in a card that just makes you feel really special, not just, you know, unwrapping the box and knowing exactly what's in there.
Okay. Let me speak for the fellas. Hey, honey. Ooh, we. My buddy Charles got this nice bike motorcycle. Ooh, it's really nice. Oh my goodness, you should see this motorcycle. Ooh, it's really nice. Or you should see this nice grill, the Traeger grill. Oh, he's got the nice grill. And then you end up buying me the grill. Oh my goodness, honey. Thank you. There doesn't need to be any romance. All right, I'm getting out of here. I'm so frustrated. Let's get to agree to disagree next. It's G and Ursula.